Good afternoon, this is Ketchel Kirkham with Looking Up, a few minutes in the middle of the week to think about astronomical things. We can't leave these dead gods alone. Well, there are so many of them. We name our celestial objects after gods no longer worshipped, and we hope, therefore, quiescent. We wouldn't want them to get narky about being named after something unimpressive, like a potato-shaped asteroid, for example, and perhaps intervene in untoward ways in our lives. Maybe in the future we will name celestial objects after gods worshipped these days, but for now we are playing it safe. The latest is a reversion to Greco-Roman gods, with a quasi-moon being named after the goddess of hinges. Cardea, goddess of hinges, handles and thresholds, although there are many other gods for thresholds as well, because these are always magical and dangerous spaces moving from one place to another. Anyway, Cardea, she is the one to pray to if you or your neighbour have irritating squeaky hinges, and a quasi-moon has just been named after her. Cardea is not a real satellite of our planet like the moon. It's not gravitationally bound to the Earth, but it moves around the sun in a way that makes it look like it goes around the Earth from time to time. It will continue to do so until well into the 2600s. There was a public call out for name suggestions, and a panel of judges selected 7 names. More than 10,000 people voted to select this name from among the finalists, and Cardea was the winner. The name was selected by participants in the 2024 naming contest run by a New York public radio program. Are you listening, FMR? There's an opportunity for you here. And also, of course, the International Astronomical Union, which is the authority for naming celestial objects. If you think a goddess of hinges is a tad obscure, here were her rivals, also gods and demigods, no longer the target of our beseechments. Is that a word? Anyway, let's start. So we have Bacchanawa, a mythical dragon from Philippine folklore said to rise from the ocean and swallow the moon. Ehaima, the mother twilight from Estonian folklore, symbolizing the balance between light and dark. Enkidu, the noble companion of Gilgamesh in the eponymous epic from Sumerian mythology. And then we have the shape-shifting dwarf of Norse mythology, Ota. I mean, apologies for my pronunciation, they're probably all wrong. Anyway, he spent his days in the form of an otter, navigating the boundaries between human realms and others. Also, Tariaksuk. Inuit legends, these are shadow beings that mirror human forms but dwell in other dimensions. And then an unpronounceable one from the Aztecs, a lunar god that once aspired to be the sun, but a hesitant leap relegated him to the moon. I mean, it's fun to name stuff up there, but for it to have any relevance, it needs international approval from the IAU, the International Astronomical Union. Otherwise, you would end up with a lot of Boaty McBoat faces, for those of you who follow British naming competitions of recent years. See, it can backfire. Anyway, many of the stars up above are in Arabic, named by scholars long ago, and there are several which share the same name as they refer to the same body part in a constellation, such as Deneb, which means tail. My second favourite is Mimosa, meaning flower, in the constellation of Crookes, our Southern Cross, also a pleasant cocktail. Names do change from time to time, as do constellations and their boundaries. My number one favourite star name is in the constellation Libra, Zubin el Ganubi, which means southern claw of the scorpion, as it used to be in the constellation of Scorpius until the boundary lines were changed. Zubin el Ganubi, it's so satisfying to say, like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Anyhow, the longest-lived former constellation was Argo Navis, which represented the ship on which Jason and the Argonauts sailed to find the Golden Fleece. Argo Navis was one of the 48 ancient constellations catalogued by Ptolemy of Alexandria in the 2nd century. It is the only Greek constellation that is no longer in use. Argo Navis survived well into the 18th century, when it was divided into 3 smaller constellations by the astronomer Nicolas Louis de la Caille here in Cape Town. The 3 constellations, Carina, the ship's keel, Puppis, the stern or poop deck, and Vela, the sails, are among the 88 modern constellations recognised by the International Astronomical Union. La Caille is also credited for creating 14 southern constellations that are still in use, and these include Mensa, Table Mountain, the only geographical feature up there, and Anclia, the air pump. Of course you knew there was a constellation named after the air pump. Why ever not? German astronomer Johann Ellert depicted more than 100 constellations in his celestial atlas Uranographia in 1801. Several of these are no longer in use. the printing press, Officina Typographica, the Locium Funis, the ship's log, and Machina Electrica, my favourite, the electricity generator, and Felis the cat. Shame, no more space cat. Whenever I look up, I see computers and mobile phones. Enough for today. This is Ketchel Kirkham wishing us clear skies. FMR.